This is Bustin' Loose in Faith with none other than Apostle Dudley Tebow and Prophetess Lisa Tebow. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a broadcast that brings you word and encouragement for your soul. We want you to remember that you don't have no worries. All you need is faith in God. Bustin' Loose in Faith airs Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, without further ado, let's get into this broadcast, and may God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to Him this day and forevermore. We all are so grateful and thankful to be here and living, be on top of the ground not on top of us. We are so grateful and thankful for everything that God has done for us and is doing this day. Hallelujah. God is a good God, and He is worthy to be praised. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Father, as we approach the throne of grace, we come to You humbling ourselves under Thy mighty hand. Oh, precious Father, may Thy hand be behind Calvary's cross. Anoint these lips of clay, use me for Thy glory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Crown my head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Right now, precious Father, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come on in like a rushing mighty wind, lead, guide, direct, and ordain our footsteps here today. Pray the people's heart to receive Thy word in spirit and in truth. We bind up all technical difficulties, anything that will try to hinder the word of God from going forth. And Father, we'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You in advance for answering prayers, for honoring requests, but most of all, as we lift up the name of Jesus, we're drawing souls to You this day and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Well, bless God. This is Apostle Dudley Tebow with Prophetess Tebow coming to you today in that name that's above every other name, and that is the name of Jesus. If you have your Bible, amen, I would like you to open up to Matthew 19, verse 29, and we're also going to be looking at Luke 6, 38, and also 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. Hallelujah. Here in Matthew, praise the Lord, 19, verse 29, the word of God reads, "And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life." Luke 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." Also in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. And the word of God reads, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abide towards you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." We thank God for the word of God, for the people of God. May God have a blessing to the hearers of His word here today. I would like for you to come in complete agreement with me as we bring forth the word today. Today we're going to be talking about God reward your sacrifice. God will reward your sacrifice. God is good and worthy to be praised. So this teaching here is going to be dealing mostly with sacrifices. Sacrifices. Hallelujah. Sacrifice is something that we all must do from time to time, because we know that a sacrifice to God is a good one, because God desires and commands us to give, according to what I just read in Luke 6:38. Again, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will God cause men to give into your bosom. So God rewards your sacrifice. Why is there a need for a sacrifice? That may be a question that you may have to ask here during this teaching here tonight. And we thank God for being able to bring forth the word today, even though we're still in quarantine and we still at a stay-at-home order in the house. But we thank God, as the economy is opening up, that we still got to be mindful which way to go. So be safe and pray and ask the Lord to lead and guide you on a daily basis. Just to give you a little bit of what sacrifice, where it was started. If you're a student of the Bible and you read the Word of God, you find out that in Genesis, around the third chapter, in verse 7, just before I go a little bit further, I want you to know that God is pleased when we do a sacrifice pleasing to Him. Sometimes we want to do a sacrifice and then put our name in neon lights. I want to let people know how much we give. That's not what a sacrifice is all about. A sacrifice is not about showing off. A sacrifice is not about one that wants to be seen. Because everything that we do for God should be done in secret. Because when we do it in secret, God will reward you openly. Hallelujah. So here we see where God had placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And he had commanded them for Adam to tend the garden. And for Eve, his wife, which was his companion, to obey what God had asked them to do. Well, in Genesis 3, verse 7, it says that, just before I get to it, that Adam and Eve was commanded to eat from all the fruits from all the trees were in the garden, except for this one tree, the tree of good and evil. God had commanded them not to touch it. But Adam got busy. And one day he wandered off and got away from him. And she went by the tree and she looked at the fruit on the tree. And it was appealing to her. You see, sin will fascinate you before it assassinates you. And here the devil got into the form of a serpent. And he entertained Eve. And he asked her a question. He said, didn't God say? In other words, he twisted the truth and brought deception. And she fell for it. And after she fell for it, she went, her husband came and she gave to her husband he ate. So then the blame game was on. Hallelujah. But sin was introduced to what God had made good. And it says, well, immediately after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they did something that was, same, unusual. Here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering, girded covering, aprons. You see, again, when sin is introduced, it will produce guilt, and guilt will generate the need for a covering. People of God, those that are listening today, and those that will be listening at a later date, our natural instinct is to try to cover up our mistakes rather than to admit them. This was inherent from Adam and Eve fall in the Garden of Eden. Also in Genesis 3, verse 8, it said, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, Eve, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You see, this had never happened before. And God would be visiting them on a regular basis. But on this day, they did something unusual. They hid themselves from God. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You see, Adam and Eve must have felt a sudden draft as they realized how inadequate their self-manufactured apparel was in the presence of a holy God. Remember, the eyes was open and they sewed themselves fig leaves. In other words, to cover themselves up. You see, only when they grasped their inability to cover their real guilt before God, then they were in a position to receive God's provision for their sin. I'm going to say it again because this pertains to even us as children of God in 2020. When we grasp, like Adam and Eve did, our ability to cover our real guilt, like they did, before God, then themselves, as well as us, we are in a position to receive God's provision for sin. You see, again, in Genesis 3, verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife Eve and clothed them. Look at God. Look at God's provision. Look at God's grace and mercy being extended. You see, the skin for Adam and Eve covering, it came from an animal that God had created. And then God killed it to make a sufficient covering for his children's guilt. So the first death in history that was recorded was a sacrificial death of an animal that God had created. Sometimes innocent die to cover the sins of someone's guilt. I want you to meditate on that for a second. Sometimes innocent die to cover the sin of someone's guilt. And here we see that God, again, he was the one who provided the sacrificial animal. So God will reward your sacrifice. He took it upon himself. Now, this is just a demonstration of his love for us, for all mankind. Here, again, in the Old Testament, underneath the Mosaic law, there was numerous and unending sacrifices and offerings that God commanded as a constant reminder of people's sin. You see, when we read about the chief priest. He would go in once a year, and he would enter into the most sacred place in the temple, the holiest of holies. They would have to put a rope around his waist while he walked in, and with bells at the bottom of his robe, because there was sin in his life. Immediately when he got into the holiest of holies, he would fall dead. Because God don't look at sin. He turned his back on it. And when you're talking about coming into this sacred place, you must come clean before God. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Even though your sins may be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. They may be red as crimson, but I'll make them as wool. You see, the holies of holies contained it, the Ark of the Covenant, a box that was, among other things, contained. That box, the Ark of the Covenant, it contained the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses. And on top of the box was a golden lid, and it was called the Mercy Seat. On each end of the box was a representation of a special kind of angel, a cherubim, associated with guarding the holies of holies. You see, brothers and sisters, those that are listening here tonight, every animal offering in the Old Testament, sacrifice was required to be without blemish. But these animals were simply an object lesson, pointing to the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom God himself would provide to become an atonement for all the sins of the world. Like the animal sacrifice, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would be the perfect one. Jesus, the sinless one, came from heaven, came down and walked upon this earth. He was tempted in all areas, but yet he sinned not. Before he went to the cross, sin was placed upon him. He took upon himself the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Shed his blood for the remission of our sins. See, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there'll be no remission of sin. Jesus came to fulfill the law, to do away with the animal sacrifice, where he became the ultimate sacrifice. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So again, the animal sacrifice was just temporary. It was leading on to the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, in the Old Testament sacrifices had to be offered continuously. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ was offered once and for all, one time, and he cleansed us from sin. He washed our sins away, because there's power in the blood of Jesus. You see, when we relate back to the Old Testament sacrifices, they were made by sinful priests who had to atone for their own sin. But Jesus Christ, he was the perfect high priest who presented himself as the sacrifice. Hallelujah. The Old Testament sacrifice, again, it only provided temporary reconciliation with God. where Christ's sacrifice offered eternal redemption for those who believe. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, 11 and 12, it says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, one not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The greatest form of love is self-sacrifice. You see, God will reward your sacrifice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all those that are listening in, we have to understand that God is a merciful God. He is an awesome God. He is a good God. God will reward your sacrifice, which we have to do on a personal basis. In Matthew 19, verse 29, again it says, and everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. See, God is not like man. God will do what he says he will do. If he says it, he promises it, it shall come to pass. All we got to do is stay in faith, walk in obedience all the way to the end, endure all the way, and then we will see the manifestation of his promises take place in our lives. See, God will reward your sacrifice. Sacrifice sometimes is not convenient, and God still calls you as a child of his to do it, even in 2020. Sometimes we as born-again believers, we get a little bit upset when we have to come out of our comfort zone, when we have to do more than is required, when we have to go the extra mile, when we have to push self on the side and do what is needed. Sometimes when we think we have it all together, God may speak to us and demand from us to do a sacrifice beyond our tithes and offering, beyond what we are usually wants to do. Remember that you've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You belong to God. Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, beloved above all things, hallelujah, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may know what the perfect will of God is. So, believers of Christ, when we sacrifice for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the gospel, we will be richly rewarded. And your reward will be real, eternal, and abundant. I'm going to say that again for those that is listening in today. Believers of Christ, when we sacrifice for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel, we will be richly rewarded, and your reward will be real, eternal, and abundant. The question may be asked, in what way are you sacrificing for the sake of Christ and the gospel? One of the key functions of the local church is to provide a place for Christians to practice serving Jesus Christ and the gospel by sacrificing their time, their talent, and treasures. Yes, God wants us to belong to a local church, to belong to a place where he has placed us, for us to grow spiritually, to belong to a place that we are a part of, not just talking about it, but being about it. Not just fitting in, getting in order to fit in. No, serving. Serving one another. Serving as unto the Lord and not to man. Making sacrifices in the area of support, in our time, our talent, and our monies. Sacrifices are so essential and important to Christianity that there is no Christian faith without sacrificing. I'm going to say it again because it might bear to be repeated too. Sacrifices are so essential and important to Christianity that there is no Christian faith without sacrifice. God will reward your sacrifice. Sacrifice means to give up something that is valuable to you in order to help another person. God will reward your sacrifice. Hallelujah.
You're worthy, you're worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We serve an awesome God. We serve a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. So again, we are talking about God will reward your sacrifice. Sacrifice, again, it means to give up something that is value to you in order to help another person. Hallelujah. And a sacrifice is not a sacrifice until you actually hurt behind it, where you actually, amen, it's something that God wants you to not value so much that you're not willing to give it up. So as believers of Christ, even though we live in the age of grace, we cannot worship God truly and fully without a sacrifice. When we assemble to worship, we shall come sacrifice to God in praises, prayer, time, and even in our resources. This is how we honor God. And it is not only to honor him, but it also will bless us. You don't lose anything when you sacrifice to God, because it is just the opposite. You gain. You see, the key to receiving when we do it unto God is by giving. The key to ruling is to serve. The key to promotion is humility. Bible says, "Well, to humble ourselves before God, and in due season, if we faint not, we shall receive the promises." God will reward your sacrifice. The key to experiencing God's glory is dying to self motives on a daily basis. In other words, putting God priority number one in your life. In another word, the key to reward for a believer of Christ, again, is putting God first as priority in everything we see and do. This is why God made sacrifices essential, important to the Christian faith, and he wants to bless us. He wants to bless you now, and everyone that is willing to obey what he says. Sacrificial living releases the peace of God into our lives. Sacrificial living releases the peace of God into our lives. You see, there is no reward without sacrifice. God sees every secret sacrifice you make as a child of his while serving him when no one else noticed. That's why we have to get to the point in life that as a child of his, we don't be concerned about what people see, what people say, and what people see us do. Because it's all about you and between you and God. God is the one that will reward you. Do it in secret, and he'll reward you openly. So believers in Christ, always remember this, that man's praises is short-lived and very shallow. But God himself will reward the things done in secret. In the book of 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Here in the B clause of 15, verse 22, it says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Sacrifice, again, it is a part of the Christian faith. So we as people of God sacrifice our lives daily as we live with the impact of Christ's sacrifice for us. You know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, heaven is our true house, true home. So everything we give up on earth is only temporary compared to eternity. So we as believers in Christ must always keep in mind that a sacrificial gift to the Lord is honored as long as we are obeying his commandments and teaching others to do so as well. Yes, believers of Christ, we must always keep in mind that a sacrificial gift to the Lord, it is honored as long as we are obeying God's commandments and teaching others to do so as well. You see, a sacrifice will cost something. A sacrifice may be freely given, but it is not a genuine one, except it be given freely. If it does not mean anything to you, to me, it's not really a sacrifice. So when we feel the pain of our sacrifice, we know that we is really giving up something important unto the Lord. As we grow in our faith, we will give sacrifices to God more freely because we understand his greater sacrifice that allow us to know his grace. You see, sacrifice can be a broken heart. Remember King David and Bathsheba when he fell into sin? In Psalms 51, verse 17, when he came to the Lord in Psalm 51 and repented before him, Psalm 51, 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, there is no reward without a sacrifice. God will reward your sacrifices. See, when we sincerely seek after God's forgiveness for our sins, it becomes a sacrifice that he will never turn away. See, the Lord wants us to come to him and for us to be made clean from our sinful ways, our sinful choices. When we humble ourselves to God, we find his grace, excuse me, and his forgiveness. Because God will reward your sacrifices. Sacrifices for a child of God is an everyday occurrence, whether we believe it or not. Because every day you have the choice to offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. The Lord does not force his children in order to obey him. He rather longs for you on your own to choose his ways over your own desires. Your sacrifice as a child of God of living for Jesus on a daily basis, in spite of the many temptations, trials, and tragedy of life, it encouraged an investment of sacrifice with an eternal of reward. God will reward your sacrifice. Sacrifice comes through by thanksgiving. In the book of Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is the fruit of our mouth, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him and to his name. When we take the time to be thankful, we are giving God a sacrifice. It may not feel like it to us, but when we consider God's faithfulness to the world on a daily basis, we should respond with gratefulness. Sacrifice is very pleasing to God. In Hebrews 13 and 16, it says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are often compelled, we are often moved to do good for those, for others, even though they do not always return the favor. Yet we sacrifice with good works and in the sharing of our resource as unto the Lord and not on as unto man. Because we know that our Father in heaven is pleased to see his children during the right time, in spite of the pressures that we may encounter here on earth, only to please ourselves. So we must be unselfish and do what God has called us to do, because God will reward your sacrifice. The question may be asked, why was there a need for sacrifice? I brought it to your attention earlier when we was talking about how God is a good God and how knows how to bless us. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to enable us and bless us to the point to where all of our needs are met. Again, in the book of 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, and this upset, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he's letting them know. He said, and this upset, he who which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, God blesses us in order for us to become a blessing. He blesses us not to, for us to sit on it. He blesses us after our need is met, so that we can bless others, so that we can go beyond the four walls of the building and reach out in the highways and the byways. When we cross paths with people that is less fortunate than we are, Jesus said in his word, the poor will be with you always. But Jesus became poor that we may be rich because of what he has sacrificed for us. Bible says that no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He had called his friends. And we know about Jesus. We know about when God looked upon the earth and he seen what men sin. Even now, is running rapidly throughout the land. He has brought us to a place in life where we are sitting, where we have to sit down and come before him and look at our life and see where we are in life. That may be one or that may be some underneath the sound of my voice after listening to the word today. Hallelujah. About how God will reward your sacrifice. It all starts with you getting right with him. It all starts with you getting to a place in life where you need a Savior, where you need God to intervene, to come into your life, to turn you around, put your foot on solid ground. Yet the God that we serve, he sits high, but he looks low. He knows us all by name, the very hairs on our head. So as we preach the word and teach the word of God tonight, we ask by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit will search your heart, see where you are in life. Just think about it a minute. If your name was called and your number was pulled, would you be ready to meet your maker? Would you be ready to meet God, the creator, the one that created you, the one that gave you life, the one that breathed into you the bread of life? Yes, we are the clay. He's the potter. He's the one that's making us, breaking us, stretching us, molding us into vessels set apart for the master's use. Again, there may be one or there may be some underneath the sound of my voice that is torn down from the floor that need Jesus in your life. The word says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's just a matter of you coming to that place of acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner, acknowledging the fact that you need Jesus in your life. coming to a place of total repentance. In other words, he was headed in one direction, a direction that leads to destruction, a direction that leads to nothing but to lead to death. Hallelujah. Spiritually as well as physically. But this time right now, if you're listening to this teaching tonight, and you feel a tugging at your heart, you feel that this message is speaking to you, don't put it off. Don't put off today for tomorrow. Get it done today, because we're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Bible says if you kind of don't harden your heart, come to him. You have drifted long enough. This is the time to get right with God. This is the time to. You may never have another moment, another opportunity. Come to him just the way you are. And he will intervene. If you come to him with a sincere heart and you mean what you say, repent of your sin. The word of God says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here in the word of God, it says that whosoever pertains to anyone, any boy, girl, woman, or man, regardless of your color of your skin, it really don't matter. Because Jesus died for everybody. Every life to God matters. Yes, he wants to change you. He wants to give you the abundant life. But you got to make the first step, and that is to come to him. After you repent of your sin, the word of God says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, for which your heart should believe on the righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. If that's you tonight, just call upon him. Repent where you are. You may not be in a church building, or you may be in a place where you don't want to be. But if that's you, don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about the people around you. Go find you a place. Repent. Give your life to Christ. Jesus, he's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. The question is, do you want to belong to the church? I'm not calling you to membership. I'm calling you to fellowship. To have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. Have a fellowship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is good and worthy to be praised. You may have been walking with God for a while, and because of hurt, church hurt, or whatever, because of things in life that you may have encountered, this is your time to get back and right with God. He's reaching out to prodigal sons and daughters. He's reaching out to those that once knew him, turn their back on him. He's a God of grace, mercy, and love. Grace, unmerited favor of God being extended to you tonight. Yes, God is calling. God is still in the soul-saving business. God is still able to save you, set you free. Come to him just the way you are, and he can bring hope to you in a hopeless situation. He can turn you around, put your foot on solid ground. Yes, the God that we serve, he is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we serve an awesome God here tonight. that are good and worthy to be praised. Well, bless God, this is Apostle Dunn Tebow letting you know that without him, you can't do nothing. Letting them know that God is still on the throne. If you'd like to get in touch with us, hallelujah, there's a box number that I can give you. Just write to us, even your prayer request, and we'll pray for you. The number is P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. You can address your prayers and requests to Apostle Dudley or Prophetess Lisa Tebow, and we will pray for you. We ask you that you pray for us as we pray for you. God bless you. God keep you. Stay safe and have a great night. God bless.